When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Jingle bell rock, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Mailbag. The European Super League football biopics and sin bins are the order of the day. It's Saturday, 23rd of December. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Andy Rattle.
Welcome one and all to the mailbag. Bloody good to have you here. We're a step closer to Christmas. And my goodness, can't you feel the mistletoe in the air, Andy?
Well, I'm looking forward to Roma versus Napoli tonight, but apparently I'm not allowed to say that on this show. I've been censored.
Also, why are you ignoring the mistletoe that Marcus has put above your head?
Honestly, it's always been a dream of mine, so I feel uncomfortable and nervous.
Give him a big kiss.
Andy being all kind of European and that, you know, it'd be a Frenchie, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, it would.
No, three on the cheeks.
There we go. Yeah. Well, welcome one and all to the mailbag, of course. Reminder that if you ever want to get involved in this show that we call the mailbag, you can tweet us on X at Football Ramble, message us on Instagram at Football Ramble, and of course, you can email us show@footballramble.com, where the characters that you have at your disposal are not restricted.
No, and you should also remember on top of that that messages from our patrons will be prioritised.
Oh, we love that.
They are paying us every month to be a part of this and to support us, and patreon.com/footballramble where you can be a part of that, be a friend of the Ramble, and have your questions for the mailbag also looked at and probably prioritised by me.
Yeah, is that exactly why you never answer my questions?
Not the only reason. Right. Certainly one of them.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, we did say on the previous show that do get in touch with us to see which to suggest which Christmas song you want Luke and I to duet with.
Yeah, who's been in touch?
We've got a message from Adit Ponelton, who says, Stop the Cavalry by Jonah Louie.
Oh,
just that bit of the bit, so you ready?
Doing it again.
You're all right, yeah.
I thought you were going to get to be Shane McGowan and you're going to be Kirsty MacColl, but sadly it wasn't to be.
Well, maybe at the end of the show we may get some more correspondence through.
I'm sure I'll see you in the drunk tank later.
Yeah.
First up, this is a message from our friend and listener Christian. He says, perhaps a controversial question, but would English football as a whole be better off with a European Super League in place. As a fan of a struggling Premier League club in the shape of Sheffield United, I'm starting to think it might just be best if the richest clubs have their attention elsewhere and join a competition that might eventually take them out of the pyramid entirely. Am I talking rubbish, Andy?
Well, if you were talking rubbish, Christian, I think a lot of people agree with you. This is something I've heard from a lot of fans. I don't know if it's the same for you two, but a lot of fans say, I've heard anecdotally and have said to me firsthand, like, just let them get on with it. Like, because it feels like a different planet. We're not talking about this happening when the idea originally came out in the 1980s, are we? When there was still a sense of cycles and genuine competition. Now it feels that so many clubs in all European leagues and in the Champions League are just completely impregnable, really.
It's locked in.
Yes. So it feels as if we're moving more from sport to entertainment. And that is definitely the way that the people who are running the game look at it as well. The fact is, this wouldn't have become such a huge discussion, the European Super League, is if UEFA hadn't presided over a situation where you have so many domestic leagues that are arguably ruined anyway, or certainly on the way to that.
So when people talk about the idea, one of the biggest issues that fans had around the original European Super League as it was proposed a few years ago was this absence of promotion and relegation into it, this absence of kind of qualifying for it or dropping out of it. But what you're effectively saying is, while that's a particularly annoying thing or unpalatable thing for fans in principle, to all intents and purposes, we sort of have that anyway.
If you feel it's inaccessible anyway.
Well, it kind of is, right? So ultimately, I understand in principle why that's annoying and why that shouldn't happen and why that's against the spirit of competition and all the rest of it. But on the other hand, I support Portsmouth. So like, it's a completely academic opinion. Yeah. Like, it's not something I'm ever going to have to worry about.
I mean, I suppose...
Yeah, but I mean, that's not really a fair comparison, is it? Because it's like saying, you know, I'm a Rochdale fan. So if they, like, if you'd have said,
just
like,
say FC Wimbledon fan.
If you, yeah, but well, that's different, because if we're going back 30 years, Wimbledon were actually in the Premier League.
Right.
So
yeah,
if you're saying back then, say 30 years ago when football was way different, say I'm a Rochdale fan. I don't care if the Premier League doesn't, when it creates itself in 1992, doesn't have any promotion, because we're never going to get in it in the first place. You know, it's unlikely, no, but it's still possible.
I understand that, but what I'm saying to you is, what I'm asking as a follow-up question is that people are turned off by the idea of a lack of sporting integrity and competition and people being, teams being ever present in the European Super League. Ultimately, a lot of those teams are going to be in practicality ever present anyway, because of the way the money and the culture and everything has shifted over that period of time,
which already exists.
Exactly. So yeah, it's actually a pretty close shop as it comes anyway. Of course, in theory, Rochdale can climb the leagues with an amazing owner and amazing manager who sticks around. They bring all these players through and they, you know, get fourth in the Premier League and they're in the Champions. Realistically though, we're all going to probably be dead before that's ever possible.
I mean, yeah. I think the interesting thing here in Christian's question is that the back half of it, where he says, if the richest clubs have their attention elsewhere and join a competition that might eventually take them out of the pyramid entirely. That's the thing that is still being denied. But ultimately, I mean, the one thing that hasn't been consulted, the one group that hasn't been consulted in all of this, and FIFA Pro keep bringing it up, is the players. You know, that is the thing. And that is the question of where there's going to be the tipping point. So, like, when A22 presented this new structure for the Super League, this new proposed structure for the Super League. And as I said on the ramble, it's not about the structure. It's not about the competition. It's the ability to be able to organise it yourself and make more of your own money. So it's a bit of a red herring. But if you look at the way that's been presented, and clearly very little thought has been put into it all over again, you know, we're looking at the Champions League. This season, you're guaranteed a minimum 6 games in the group stage. That will be minimum 8 games under the new format that starts in 2024. This is talking about 14 games minimum. And so you've got that. You've got the 2025 Club World Cup. And, you know, you've got situations like before, out in Jeddah at the Club World Cup, you've got Bernardo Silva just really tired.
Yeah.
And you've got players all over Europe saying that.
Kieran Trippier, another one. Looks like he's forgotten how to play football.
Oh, don't have a go at Trips.
Sorry, mate.
It makes me sad too.
But the thing, so yeah. Aside from that, Marcus, I was going to ask you, you know, like, if we take Christian's question on its face, the idea that rich clubs let them go off and do their thing,
yeah.
That's arguably the most seismic thing to happen to club football in this country ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's you think of the years ago, was it in the 50s, the Colombian sort of breakaway league?
Yeah. All that kind of stuff. Yeah. So that's massive. It goes without saying, that is massive.
So it would be huge. It would rock European football. I think if you take the spirit of the question, you know, it's kind of like, you know, have a straight run up at this, because to try and, as I say, fill in all the blanks and how the details would look ahead, because I think you've done probably the best one could do on that, Andy. So, you know, thank you for doing that. So
I don't have to
blather my way through that.
I thought you were right, actually. That.
But so just taking it, if I may, from the big teams leaving the Premier League. So
if I can look at it on that.
I mean, there is an issue, as you say. Well, say if in 4 or 5 years' time this is the case, will Aston Villa be one of those sides? You know, there still is a little bit of, what you were saying about transience about football. You know, because Tottenham Hotspur were included in it. Newcastle United, would they be? So how many teams go from
Tottenham
England?
Hotspur in that position did exactly that Grandpa Simpson meme, didn't they? They came in last, took their hat off. Yeah, this is great. And then they left straight away as soon as they saw Bart.
So again, like, you know, where does one sit historically? I mean, you know, Manchester United are not pulling up trees, but obviously they are one of the biggest clubs in the world still. So there's that kind of issue. But interestingly, I would be interested to hear what other fans from other leagues would say, because in Scotland, you know, having grown up there was often talk about will Rangers and Celtic leave
join the Premier League,
to go to the Premier League, or there was Super League chat years ago, and a number of fans from other clubs, I remember saying, yeah, get rid of them.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they suck all the attention.
Totally, yeah. because that's a closed shop. In the Premier League, it's just not quite the same. And obviously,
yes,
Christian is saying that about the Premier League. So I understand, as a Sheffield United fan, he's saying that, and you've used examples of whether it be Portsmouth or you even use Fulham and you know, so on. I just think I don't think it would make the Premier League better. I think.
Well, I it's a stupid way of solving a problem.
Yeah.
It's the way, what's actually happening is everything is so imbalanced that fans, you know, I'm sure Christian's not alone in this, of clubs like Sheffield United, which is a big club, which has done things in the past, is thinking, get rid of them so we can actually.
I mean, to be fair to Christian, he has at the end said, am I talking rubbish? So I don't think it would make the Premier League better, because we've seen teams come up recently. And yes, it's usually because of huge money. You think of Chelsea, you know, not that long ago, their big money came in.
But he's not saying would it make the Premier League better?
No, I'm saying.
He's saying, would it be best if they went off and did something else?
Yeah, because the smaller teams, it's kind of, we're not getting anywhere with these bigger sides. But, you know, the two clubs you wouldn't immediately want to say is Leicester City, who managed it. I know it was a miracle, but they still did. And that makes that just incredible. People say that's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing, possibly. Aston Villa this season, it's been really, really interesting. I still think there's a few cracks there for some teams to try and sort of nip through. I think if you removed, in the Premier League, if some of these big teams went off, I think all would happen is you'd then just get new money and other teams would start suddenly, and the imbalance would sort of be.
But that's slightly different, because, like, if you're talking about, say, Leicester winning the Premier League, that's like me talking about Montpellier or Lille winning Ligue 1. It's like, you know, when you tell your child something 36 times and one time they listen to you.
Yeah.
You know, there's a bit of your brain that's telling you, oh, they listen to me sometimes. Where normally, if you did something 36 times and it happened once, you would think, I'm not going to do that anymore, it's not a reasonable hit rate. It's just for your own sanity.
You're trying to turn, but if you were to say, all right, you lot bugger off and Arsenal and Man U and City and all go and do the Super League thing, you're trying to turn the clock back to the 80s and to lesser extent the early 90s to have that rotation of the power, the balance of power moving around. I'm just not sure it would play out
But the reality is actually, Marcus, you hit the nail on the head when you talked about Villa. And when you talked about Newcastle, and when, to a lesser extent, you talked about Spurs as well. Because the fact is, I mean, coming away from Christian's question for a second, this isn't a Premier League problem.
Mm.
This is an other leagues in the world sort of problem. And actually, the reason that Real Madrid and Barcelona want to promote this so badly is not just because, in the case of Barcelona, obviously they've been very poorly financially managed in recent years. They're scared of the Premier League. That's why they want to create this. There's a European dialogue that the Premier League is the problem. Mm-hmm. And that is why this is talked about so much at the moment.
Let me just round off by just giving them my quick take on the issue. What Christians are ultimately talking about is finding a way to redress the balance of what's happened to the English football in this country, English football, right? He's saying, get rid of those big clubs. You know, it'll even the playing field for the rest of us. We can all get on with our lives. Basically, is what he's saying. I'm not assessing whether that's a good or a shit idea or not. I think the fact that he's asked the question itself, actually, in itself is interesting.
Yeah.
The answer to solve that problem isn't this solution.
No.
Because this solution essentially undermines any kind of achievement that follows it. Because people are automatically going to say, well, yeah, but I mean, the best clubs aren't here. Mm. What they need to do, and this will never happen, but I think it's important that we make this point just to answer the question in full. It needs to be a bottom-up solution rather than a top-down one. What needs to happen is they need to get rid of stupid shit. And I know they say this every other week on the mailbag, but it is really the source of quite a lot of problems. They need to get rid of stupid shit like the EPP thing. Mm-hmm. They need to give clubs who aren't aren't benefiting from Premier League money, who aren't massive, quote-unquote massive clubs, the ability to do something, i.e. really invest in their local community, bring players through. Those young players used to not be able to go up to Man City. They used to have to stay where they were. They used to have to stay 90 minutes from their home. Mm-hmm. If you can find a way of reintroducing that, it's a small thing to do, but it would start to redress the balance, because at least those teams could bring a player or two through and, you know, sell them on for loads of money. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they can reinvest that money. It doesn't give them the opportunity to be in the Champions League, but it gives them a chance to be in control of their own destiny, have a bit of self-respect, be self-funded, be able to not have to limp from owner to owner to prop them up.
Exactly.
All that stuff needs to happen. And then ultimately we'll get a football league, if it was pursued to its natural conclusion, we'd get a football league and a system that would be essentially run on merit. And there would always be bigger clubs. There would always be much more successful clubs. That's fine. But there would still be an opportunity for those smaller clubs to actually do something. Mm. And getting rid of the best teams, the most well-funded team, isn't a way of redressing the balance. It's a way of undermining the competition.
Yeah, I mean, you're essentially saying, let's have a little bit of restraint and a little bit of wise thinking on the free market economy.
You need guardrails.
Exactly.
In place.
Indeed you do. Indeed you do.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/ramble.
We had this from Joe Gent on the Discord. If you had to make a film out of a real-life football person or event, what would you choose to do? So this can be either a biopic of a particular player or manager, or a depiction of a season, or even a depiction of a particular match.
I don't think Leicester City winning the Premier League has been talked about much.
I mean, that is the obvious answer, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's why I'm not going to do it. My answer to this...
Jamie Vardy?
Yeah, that is played by Dean Gaffney.
Yeah, and the little Easter egg at the end, yeah, when they've won the league and it's all, yeah, happening and so on, is him just sipping Skittles in vodka.
Yeah.
The
Easter egg at the end is him destroying an Easter egg. Yeah. I would love to see a Elvis-style biopic of Paolo Maldini.
Oh, now you're talking.
He looks good.
Yeah.
Very glamorous career. Incredibly... talented player, a one club man,
great hair,
impossibly,
yes,
beautiful hair, very glamorous to us watching football when we were growing up, and being over in Italy, and never, okay, something very unattainable about him.
But you say Elvis style biopic. I mean, as anyone who's a fan of Father Ted will know, you know, there are the three ages of Elvis. There are not the three ages of Paolo Maldini. He's kind of ageless.
No,
isn't
let me. What I mean by that is when Elvis gets into trouble and starts going off the rails,
Paolo Maldini helps him.
That's when you start talking about Paolo Maldini's tennis career. Yeah, but he got into tennis. Plot twist. Tell me that's not a plot twist. I admit it's a boring plot twist, but it's not expected. It's still a twist.
True.
It's Shyamalan is what it is.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, one minute you're watching the film, and he's dressed in his AC Milan training gear, and he waves, and he's finished and he's retired. And, oh, what an amazing career, what an amazing player, blah, 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 all the rest of it.
Yeah.
What's he going to do next? Oh, he's probably going to get into management.
Bang.
Cut. Tennis gear.
Tennis.
I think it'd be brilliant. I'd watch it.
I think it's an idea.
I'd even volunteer to play his dad.
Okay, Andy, which obscure former Wimbledon player of the 80s are you going to choose?
Well, you know what? I think I would go for one of two things. I remember a moment when Wimbledon were playing Crystal Palace in 1990, it'll be just before Palace were in the final against Manchester United.
Mm.
And Wimbledon played them at Plough Lane like maybe 3-4 days before the final. And there was a huge punch up. And Andy Thorne, who was playing for Palace, who used to play for Wimbledon, of course. Rather than getting involved, well, he's like probably my favourite Wimbledon player ever, but rather than getting involved, he simply sat on one of the shallow advertising hoardings on the side at Plough Lane. He just laughed. He just sat there laughing as these blokes got stuck in. And
is that enough material for a movie?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it would kind of be like the Zidane film. I think you're following him around all day, like figure out what else was going on in the world during that day.
Instead of Mogwai, it'd be the Cockney Rejects.
Yeah, exactly. I think either that or when Lyon opened their new stadium in January 2016, Jean Michel Aulas, the then president, the famous Lyon president, he invited Will.i.am to DJ for the party.
Nice. Right.
Obviously, it was shit. Yes. But like Jean Michel Aulas was really taken by him, and he like cultivated this kind of weird friendship with Will.i.am. So I would like to see a sort of like buddy sort of road movie
between Trains and Automobiles.
Yeah, between like Jean-Michel Aulas and Will.i.am.
There you go. Which idea of those did you prefer? Which of those two did you like? You're the commissioning editor here. What are you commissioning?
The first one.
Just please leave my office.
I would like to take a selection, and I want you boys' input here, of the best headers of the football.
Yeah.
In you can think of. So
Could you before you get into this,
yeah.
Here's one for you. Taken 4.
Oh, come on, yeah, this is my idea.
But it's Derek Adams.
I mean.
Carry on.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work out. But
Taken Division 4.
Yeah.
Just beat a bill. Poof.
Yeah.
So poor. So poor.
Or Ransom.
Yeah.
With the Mel Gibson one.
Yeah.
Give me back my football. Give me back my playing style.
Yeah.
So think of the best. So I don't know, Selez.
Yeah.
Alan Shearer.
Christian Vieri.
Oliver Bierhoff has suddenly leapt to mind.
Don't ignore Bieri.
Yeah, I heard you.
Yeah.
More the merrier.
Yeah.
And,
well, there's a cricket element to it, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
No, Vish isn't here. and they would, it would be not Mogwai. I was just inspired by Andy's idea there. We're walking in the air.
Nice.
And they would, as they leapt, you would hear that. And it would be sort of a
whole film of that, yeah?
Yeah, cricket. Yeah. Well, films
that
are what,
song's two, about 2 minutes long.
Yeah,
so.
But loop it. Films are what, 2 hours, 45 minutes these days? Yeah. You get loads of footage.
So we're looping that 45 times to get an hour and a half.
Either that or a biopic on Barry Fry.
Second one. Oh, yeah, definitely into that. Do your Barry Fry impression.
Salt and a fat bastard in the blue blazer!
Take him with Barry Fry.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Is he the baddie or the goodie?
He does both. Plays twins.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
He's a bit of a budget Harry Redknapp.
Yeah.
But
if one can imagine such a thing. Imagine Harry Redknapp, right? Yeah, but worse, impossible.
but more genuine, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
In his ways. I'd just love to find out more, because there's so many stories.
Well, there is a TV
Barry
series effectively about Barry Fry, isn't there?
I know, but a little
called
bit more.
Ron Manager. It basically starts off being about Ron Atkinson going to Peterborough United to save the club from being terrible. It really becomes about Steve Bleo Bleasdale, the manager who's managing them at the time out of his depth and really undermined by Big Ron. But ultimately, Barry Fry plays basically the Daniel Day-Lewis type character, where every time he's not on screen, you can't wait for him to come back, shouting and swearing and being annoyed.
We should probably explain who Barry Fry is to some people.
Don't bother.
Nah.
I think they should go on that journey themselves.
You should know.
I agree.
You should know who Barry Fry is.
I hope that answers your question anyway, Joe Gent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now then, gentlemen, Christopher has emailed us and he said, on the recent subject of sin bins being introduced in football, for anyone possibly on the fence about them, can I offer up the following? A couple of years ago, my local rugby club, Munster, teamed up with a local waste disposal company to come up with a sponsored sin bin. The company is called Mr. Bin Man, and they sponsored a massive yellow chair for the players to sit on during their brief timeout. Think of the potential! Just to clarify, Munster are not a small amateur side. They are two-time European champions and current URC champions. And for me, this is still up there with their best achievements. It's great stuff, it's just, that.
Everything these days in sport is a sponsorship opportunity.
I'm surprised they haven't done that in like the Mexican League or somewhere like that.
How big is this chair?
It must be pretty big for a
football. I mean, because presumably like more than one person could get sin-binned at the same time.
So in rugby,
imagine having to sit in the chair with the person you've just been sent off for having the dispute.
Well, that happens, doesn't it? In rugby, that happens.
Right.
Yeah. So the players get get a yellow card. They have to spend a period of time on the sidelines. And I don't really watch that much rugby, but it seemed to me that in the World Cup earlier this year, they were just sitting on a chair by the sidelines with a time thing ticking next to them, and they would have to watch the game. And then they were able to come back on after the time out there. But it's a very kind of rudimentary. It feels like quite a public punishment.
Yeah, I know.
Having said that, it would be a departure for football, actually, you know, taking accurate timing into the game, wouldn't it?
But I also, and interestingly enough, a guy I used to work with, Joe, he's a producer. He's also quite a decent standard referee. So he referees at, you know, I don't know what it is, like eighth or ninth tier or whatever. Younger guy, and he's well respected as a referee. He's made a pretty good job of it. And he was at the level at the time that they introduced sin bins in football. And he said it actually worked really well.
Oh, right.
He said it was actually really decent. Like he said as a referee at that level, you get situations where yellow card is the yellow card, but it doesn't feel quite enough. But to send them off would be a really big thing to do.
Yes.
And it fitted really nicely at that level of football, because everyone gets time to calm down. It's a punishment. The other team are generally satisfied by that punishment, and the whole thing can kind of be blown over, and then the game isn't totally ruined. So but I don't know if that would work in the Premier League or whatever, but they have talked about it, haven't they?
But how do you bring in the banter, though?
I would.
Count Binface has got to be involved.
Yeah, I would. No, what I'd do is I'd make them get in a bin.
Yeah.
For the sin bin,
And if I think humiliation is the way to go. And so you would have some puppeteers there with like Oscar the Grouch pop up.
That'd be nice.
And you have to talk to them. So you are there in the bin and you're talking to these inanimate
objects. Or
It's an actual bin that they take at random from somewhere near the stadium.
Oh, now you're talking.
Might have sick in the bottom of it, might not.
Could have broken glass.
Oh, yeah. Good point about that, yeah. Fair enough. It's your own fault then, isn't it, for getting sin bin?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got flipping hepatitis because he went in the wrong bin.
Sorry for trying to give a bit of insight on that. That was a mistake of mine. I didn't mean to.
I love the idea of Oscar the Grouch doing touchline.
Yeah.
That'd be good, wouldn't
it? A bit more wholesome than Luke's suggestion.
Depends which way you look at it. Do you want to see Cristiano Ronaldo covered in puke?
I think that in Saudi, they're really just going to find a bin, aren't they? Yeah. He'd have a gold throne or something, wouldn't he? Sit on this, Cristiano.
Yeah, you are the best.
He is the best, yeah. I think sin bins are an interesting thing, and the more comical we can make them, then you know, I think we're up for that.
I think we're looking to humiliate people, aren't we? Let's be honest.
Basically. And you put it just outside the technical area, so Mikel Arteta can't quite get at them. Although he would.
He would. Yeah. He'd find a way, wouldn't he?
He would find a way. Well, of course, on the subject of rule changes, we will be back with a special New Year's edition of the Football Ramble on the 1st of January, sharing our New Year's resolutions for football for 2024. Myself, Luke, Vish and Jim recorded it recently, and it was a bloody good episode, may I suggest.
That's what it says here.
Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, make sure to join Luke and Jim tonight for Ramble Reacts after Liverpool versus Arsenal. Huge one at the top of the table.
I mean, that can't. If Liverpool batter Arsenal, that couldn't be better for me.
Yeah.
It'd be a brilliant episode.
You want to give it to Jim, don't you?
Big time.
So to speak.
Yeah.
I'll be back with Luke and Andy on Wednesday to put all the Boxing Day drama under the Ramble microscope, of course. And thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble mailbag. To get in touch for the next episode, do tweet us on X at Football Ramble.
Messages. Why is it always funny still?
Messages on Instagram at Football Ramble. And of course, email us show at footballramble.com. Merry Christmas, everybody. Are we going to finish with a song?
What do you want to do?
Well, we've got a bit of correspondence here from a Mr. Riff Clitchard, who's asked...
I'm not doing any Cliff.
You bloody are.
Okay.
What is mistletoe and wine?
Go on then.
Christmas time, mistletoe and wine, joining in. Come on.
Your face, you're so excited then. I'm going to do it. I'm not singing Cliff.
I wanted you to do the background.
Silent Night. That's actually quite nice.
There you are.
I'm not singing Cliff Richard. That's the end of it.
What about if I got you a cream blazer and put you in front of the Royal Box at Wimbledon?
Sold to the fat bastard in the cream blazer.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.